There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's 11:07. Did you see who was at Six Flags yesterday? Just hanging out. Only the greatest gymnast, maybe the greatest athlete on the planet, Simone Biles, there with her fiancé, Jonathan Owens, the St. Louis and CBC product, member of the Houston Texans, and I had a lot of Twitter followers who commented after I posted her Instagram picture hanging out at Six Flags that she was definitely going to get some emos after that. I don't think there's any question about that. Good to have Simone Biles in town, though, and all the Cubs fans. I know we poke fun at you sometimes. I saw the sign up at Pappy's on Friday that said Cubs fans pay double. It was great. Well, you know, it is good to have you here. I'll be honest. I mean, I like having the Cubs fans in town. Not too many of you, but it's good to have you in town. I like seeing that, you know, the camaraderie between Cards and Cubs. And look, we have a lot of things going on in the world right now, a lot of things in our country, a lot of things in our region that we disagree on. One thing we can agree on, Cards-Cubs is a great rivalry. It's fun. It is great to see the fans together drinking beers and hanging out. And I hope that people come downtown and enjoy. I do see that we're dealing with a lot of rain and wind right outside our window here in downtown St. Louis. In fact, the Pride Parade, I don't know, I'm going to assume that it'll start right on time, but it was supposed to start right now. And I see a lot of people have taken cover and, you know, are under tents and things like that. The rain has let up just a bit, and so has the wind. But just about 10 minutes ago, it was really whipping through here. So all the best to everybody downtown or making your way downtown. It looks like all this is going to be cleared out by game time. So if you're going to the Cardinals game, I wouldn't worry about that. It's a 1:15 first pitch for Jack Flaherty. He makes the start against the Chicago Cubs. And Flaherty, really important start for him, no question about it. We do have ourselves a lineup. Are you ready? Here we go. Now, Oliver Marmol told us on the show last hour that Yvonne Herrera was going to catch. He said it also yesterday in the post game, but he confirmed that this morning that Herrera is catching, and he is. He will be catching Flaherty this afternoon, and he's batting ninth in the order, Herrera is, after his big sac fly RBI yesterday. Here is that. It was in the eighth inning with runners at the corners. And a big moment for the rookie.
Bader runs well at first, and the pitch is hit deep down the left field line. Going towards the line is Happ. He reaches up and makes the catch. Tagging at third and scoring is Sosa. The throw comes in to second base. Bader safe there, and the Cardinals have taken the lead here in the eighth inning, 4-3.
They won it 5-3. Herrera batting ninth and catching, and we'll see how long he has that job, as Andrew Kisner is also going to catch, but is really trying to find himself at the plate, as Marmol said last hour. Tommy Edman will lead off and play shortstop today. Brendan Donovan will play in left field. He just moves all over the place. He's going to play in left field today and bat second. Paul Goldschmidt is the first baseman batting third. Nolan Arenado is in there today batting fourth and playing third base. Nolan Gorman bats fifth this afternoon. He's the second baseman. Juan Yepes will be the DH batting sixth. Dylan Carlson in right bats seventh. Harrison Bader in center field bats eighth. And Yvonne Herrera, the catcher, batting ninth. I like that lineup. Edman, Donovan, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Gorman, Yepes, Carlson, Bader, Herrera. I like that lineup. Jack Flaherty is the starting pitcher for St. Louis, and the Chicago Cubs will line up this way as we take a look at these matchups today. The Cubs are going to be, I think, they'll be dealing at the trade deadline, and I think this could be some of the last you see of Wilson Contreras. But at any rate, he's actually going to DH today. So their lineup looks like this. Morel in center field, Ortega in right, Contreras the DH. Happ bats fourth in left field. Wisdom, the third baseman, bats fifth. Horner, the shortstop, sixth. Gomez, the catcher, bats seventh. Rivas, the first baseman, eighth. And Bodie, the second baseman, bats ninth, with Mills pitching against Flaherty. That's the lineup today for the Chicago Cubs. Speaking of Simone Biles, two big events yesterday of notice internationally. One in Budapest, the Canadian 15-year-old Summer McIntosh won another gold medal, and Italy beat the United States to win the men's 4x100 medley relay title on the final night of racing. So Italy tops the U.S. in swimming at the World Swimming Championships in Budapest. The American women clinched the United States record 45th medal of the week by winning their 4x100 medley final. And in the track and field U.S. Championships, Sydney McLaughlin bested her own world record in the 400-meter hurdles at the U.S. Outdoor Track and Field Championships in Eugene, Oregon, and flashing a thumbs up and a big smile across the finish line in 51.41 seconds. That breaks her own record of 51.46 set last year at the Tokyo Games, where she won the gold medal. So that's a big moment for U.S. track and field, without a doubt. When we come back, we'll look at the Stanley Cup final from a different lens, through the eyes of Jeff Heskett, who is an Oakville native, went to the same high school as Patrick Maroon. Patty is playing tonight in Game 6 for the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Colorado Avalanche, and he is more than a great hockey player. He's just a great human being. Jeff Heskett is going to tell us about his friend next. It's 11-12.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Up on stage, winning a Stanley Cup in 2019, Patrick Maroon. And remember what he said? I'm a hometown hero, baby. Oh, my gosh. How much fun was that? Patrick Maroon was a great St. Louis Blue, and now he's a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And there's no doubt about it that when you look back at the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup championship team, Maroon is a huge reason why the Blues won it. He had great leadership. He had obviously great physical ability. He could really do things that not a lot of players can do, get under your skin, but also bring it physically. And he popped in a goal that will go down as one of the greatest in Blues history. And watching it all was his pal from Oakville, Jeff Heskett, and a great friend of mine, longtime friend of mine. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I had a golf outing with Patrick Maroon and Andy Marks. Andy, his best friend, pitched for KU, now a pitching coach here in St. Louis. We were sitting around the bar after a round of golf, and Andy said, "Hey, Jeff Heskett says hi," and said that you guys had talked. And Pat's like, "Wait, I know Jeff. He's awesome." And I said, "Yeah, I've known Jeff for years." And basically, the three of us just sat around the bar talking about you, and what a great guy you are. I've known you since you were a teenager, and as it turns out, I know one of the happiest guys in St. Louis that Patty is making his run is you. Tell me about Pat Maroon from your perspective, living in Oakville for as many years as you have.
Pat Maroon is awesome. Just in high school, he was just a big, funny guy. And watching him and playing at Oakville, you knew he was something special playing against these other guys. And once he got drafted to Philly, you were hoping that he would play somewhere. And he was playing with Edmonton. And then eventually was a free agent, same with St. Louis. And in that summer, we were always hoping, at least a lot of people hopeful, how cool it would be to see Pat in St. Louis. And I said, if they do it, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. And when he scored that goal in overtime, it was just so amazing to see someone that you know that is such a good guy. And then see what he's doing now in Tampa is nothing but less than I would expect, because he's such a great player on and off ice.
Tell me about Pat Maroon, the high school kid, and what kind of a guy he was.
Pat was just a great guy, always going out to different outings in the area. And even now, if you always say him out to eat when he's back in St. Louis, You can go up and say hi. He does not care. Just loving life, loving the game of hockey, and just loves to be around people.
And what is it like for you to hear that he talks about you, that he brings up your name and he speaks so highly of you?
That is incredible to see somebody that is a pro athlete that you've known so long, that has gone to so many different places, that still talks about you so high is incredible.
Where did you and I meet? We met, it was always around the Cardinals, and I'm pretty sure it was around the Cardinals winter warm-up. Is that right?
Yes, that was right. I was thinking about that earlier. I know it was winter warm-up. I'm thinking it was like 2003 or 2004.
Yeah, when you know somebody for that long and you're like, well, where did we first meet? I don't know, because you and I have talked for so many years. But I met you when you were in high school, and then I went to Oakville High School to talk to your class, and it was around that time that I learned that you actually were working very closely with the baseball team, weren't you?
Yes, I was working close with the baseball team in 05 and 06. I was on the baseball manager for Oakville Baseball. We had a few great players on the team, if not many. One was Andy Martz, who you had mentioned. He went to KU. And we also had a guy on the team named Dan Rolfing that went the following year in 07 to Minnesota in the draft.
That's pretty strong. Yeah. And then, of course, Patty goes on to play in the NHL and has played for a number of organizations with the Blues, of course, and now with the Tampa Bay Lightning, a chance to win tonight in Game 6 and force a Game 7. Jeff, I think they win this thing. I think Tampa Bay is going to win tonight. I think they're going to win Game 7.
I honestly think so, too, for a couple reasons. I think that being with all the momentum they had since they won the last game, you're going to be home with the crowd. And I think Colorado had that swag about them in the last game that they knew that they were good enough. But and seeing Tampa win and just with all the momentum Tampa's had in the past, being the champs and everything else, I think that they're going to take it tonight. And then I think they're going to upset them in Game 7.
I love it. I have two more questions for you. Number one, tell me about Oakville, the community, and what it's like to live there and what the area, what this means to them. But also just tell me about Oakville in general.
Oakville is a great area. Hardworking people, always going out of your way to help each other. It means a lot to Oakville. There's many, a lot of the bars and restaurants in town have Pat Maroon's busy hanging up. Anywhere you go on when the Blues were playing with him and now with Tampa, especially in the playoffs, everybody is watching every TV has the game on, and everybody's rooting for Pat. Hometown hero. It's a great town, and everybody loves hockey here.
And as I mentioned, and as you mentioned, you actually gave me the date, probably 03 or 04, so that means I've known you for 18 or 19 years, and I've known this all along, that you wanted to be a broadcaster and you wanted to be involved in broadcasting in some way. Well, I got news for you. You just did a segment on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday Morning, the St. Louis tradition. What do you think about that?
That is amazing. I've went to school for broadcasting. It's still a great passion of mine. I've moved on, but I still love sports, and I follow the greatest sports station in the country, 1120. Every day, all day.
I appreciate you. Yeah, I know you've listened to us for many years, and now you just killed it on KMOX. Terrific job. Thank you for telling us about Pat Maroon. Good luck tonight. I'll be watching, and I know I'm a member of the media, and I'm supposed to be impartial, but I'm pulling for the Lightning tonight, buddy.
Thank you, and I think everybody in St. Louis is pulling for Tampa. One way or another, because we don't like the ads with Cranky.
You're right about that. Have a good day, Jeff. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
There's Jeff Heskett, Oakville's finest right there. Great friend of Pat Maroon back in high school. And they are ready to go tonight, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche. Absolutely love that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. This series has come down to this Game 6 elimination game, and they specialize in that, no doubt about it. this Tampa Bay Lightning team. Xander Schauffele shot a 367 yesterday, took a one-stroke lead over his good friend and playing partner Patrick Cantlay into the final round of the Travelers Championship. Schauffele with a 17-under total at TPC River Highlands. That's in Cromwell, Connecticut. Cantlay shot a 63. So these two are just tearing up the course right now. And we'll watch it as they were close friends back when they were paired together at the President's Cup in Australia back in 2019. We're going to have the President's Cup in St. Louis in 2030 at Belrive Country Club. That'll be here faster than you think. I can't wait until we have the best in the world here in St. Louis. We may get something else between now and then. And don't forget, the Ascension Charity Classic is happening that second week of September, right after Labor Day weekend. And we're going to have some special things we're going to be doing with them here on KMOX. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to hear from Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. He's set for his normal 11:30 visit. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. I'm Tom Ackerman. Albert Pujols at 11.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
.45 Mo is next.
It's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
2-1 delivery to Yepez. Hit hard to left field and backing up his Happ, and he can't get it. It's over his head and up against the wall. Yepez heading into second base with a double, and the Cardinals have the go-ahead run at second base with one out as Yepez delivered.
What a big-time hit that was by Juan Yepez. Pinch run for by Edmundo Sosa, who reached third, hesitated for a moment, but got third on a wild pitch, ended up scoring on the sack fly by Ivan Herrera, and the Cardinals won it 5-3 yesterday over the Cubs. Mike Claiborne on the field.
There were a lot of players in the game today, but Juan Yepez with the big leadoff double in the eighth inning. Walk me through what you were thinking going up to the plate, because the game was obviously on the line. You guys are now with an even score. What were you thinking?
I mean, I was just thinking, trying to hit the ball hard, trying to help this team win, you know?
Well, you certainly did that. You're seeing some teams for the second time now. How are they trying to pitch you differently, if at all?
I mean, I think they were throwing me a lot of fastballs in, and I was able to get the hands out and hit the ball hard, you know?
Yeah, and you're a guy who's told me before, you're not really looking for spin, you just want to see it and hit it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I just try to see the ball and hit it.
For you, watching young guys on this team, yourself, you have Brendan Donovan, now Herrera today with the big RBI fly ball. What's that feel like, being part of a team where all you guys are coming up together?
I mean, it's a dream come true, you know? Like, we've been together all minor leagues, and now be here, help this team win, it's a dream.
Yeah, and all you guys are contributing. That's got to be a lot of fun for you. All right, get some rest. We'll be out here tomorrow. This weather doesn't bother you, does it?
Nah, not at all.
Especially in the big league.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Mike Claiborne with Juan Yepez after the game on KMOX yesterday. And from the Stiefel Sports Studio, I'm Tom Ackerman. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning. On that note, let's go right to John Mozeliak at 11:30. Cardinals President of Baseball Operations is with us. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you heard Juan Yepez right there, and what he was talking about at the end of that interview with Mike Claiborne on the field was how special it is. He called it a dream to be able to play with these players that he's been with all the way through the minor leagues and to be on the big stage and doing what they're doing. It, when you really take a look back a little bit and kind of zoom out into this moment, it's pretty neat what they've been able to pull off.
Look, this team's very well balanced. I mean, obviously we have some, you know, historic players or iconic players on this team in the sense of with Yadi, Waino, and Albert. But then you also have like anchors on this team and you know, current superstars in Nolan and Goldie. And then you have a lot of emerging stars. And, you know, we saw most of our outfield over the last couple of years step up and become more recognizable, if you will, in the league. But then you have this young group of guys that are, you know, making a real contribution to this team. And obviously Yepes being one of them, Donovan being another, Nolan Gorman being another. And a lot of these guys played together in the minor leagues. They had success together in the minor leagues, and now you're seeing it really in front of our eyes here at the big league level. So it's great to see. It's obviously a roadmap we followed before, and hopefully we can keep it going.
It is the same roadmap, although I think it feels like you've said exactly what you said you were going to do moving forward with these prospects. You were going to find opportunities for them. Now, sometimes opportunities do come up when there are injuries, but true to your word, I mean, just about all of these prospects have seen some time here.
Yep, and there's, you know, the interesting thing is we have guys down below doing really well too. And, you know, I was actually talking with some of the guys in our front office yesterday about how I think sometimes, as much as we talk about opportunity and we try to create an opportunity, there's going to be some times this summer where we're not going to be able to. And we're going to have some roster challenges. You know, we're going to probably get Tyler O'Neill back soon. We're going to get Corey Dickerson back soon. And so they're going to have some tough decisions. And then on the pitching front, you know, Steven Matz is going to go out for a rehab. Jordan Hicks is going to do a back-to-back starting Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'll see where he's at. And, you know, hopefully McFarland's not too long with COVID. And so, you know, all of these things are going to create some stress, but it's good stress because it's good to get healthy. But at some point, the opportunity that we've been able to do is not always going to last forever at this current spot. But look, we understand things happen, things change, and so the good news is the guys that we've given chances to so far are making the most of it, and that's great to see.
No doubt. I think that it's a big compliment to a player when he doesn't get a lot of attention. What I mean by that is he almost feels like he just assumes the role and plays like a veteran, and that player to me is Brendan Donovan. I believe that he still doesn't get the attention that he deserves. He has just sort of moved right in and looks the part. I saw him for the first time at spring training, and somebody mentioned to me mentioned my name on Twitter and said Ackerman was on Brendan Donovan early. It wasn't me. It was the front office. It was all of you that told me to keep an eye on this guy. And he's exactly what you said he was going to be and more.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are surprised of how well he's played here. You know, as I remind people, he was part of our taxi squad last year when we went to play the Dodgers. He is someone that our minor league system has been super high on, and rightfully so, given how well he's played. So I don't think internally we're all that surprised at what we're seeing, but I think, you know, if we're all being honest, we got to say that's been pretty incredible. You haven't seen that like regression to the mean or anything along those lines. What you're seeing is a guy that just continues to take really, really good competitive at-bats. He is super flexible in terms of where you can play him on the field. And, you know, I've always like sort of dreamed about having like that sort of, you know, Zobrist Swiss Army knife type player. And, you know, right now we kind of have two of them because Tommy Edman can do the same thing, but now he's just anchoring short. So, you know, our team has a lot of flexibility with these players, but I think Donovan has been amazing.
He has. Yeah, Tommy Edman will just lead the league in war. You know, just go ahead and take that over. He's been great. The Cardinals organization, when you look at the entire organization right now, you've been able to fill in for players, and certainly at some point the decision will be made when Tyler O'Neill comes back as to what you do in left field. You got Donovan playing left field today. O'Neill, is he feeling okay? You think we're looking to see him back fairly soon?
I do think he'll be shorter rather than longer. You know, obviously you got to start testing it before you can make any like definitive plans for return. But you know, I do think, you know, there's a chance by the weekend he's out for a rehab assignment.
And then looking further at what you have in middle relief, you have Cabrera and McFarland, as you mentioned, are both on the IL. Oviedo with a very impressive performance, 2 1/3 recently. I know that as an organization, you've stuck with him, haven't you? And have found a spot for him, it feels like.
Well, look, this is a these kind of things you cannot give up on people because they're talented. If you do, someone else is going to benefit from it, and you don't want to do that. And I think for him, there's a lot of things that have gone into his story, and you know, getting thrust into the big leagues at a young age in COVID year in the pandemic, then last year kind of having an up and down experience. But right now, I think you know, Ollie and his staff are very vested in him. They're trying to be very intentional with him, and when you look at him just from like a raw scouting standpoint, there's so much to love. But at some point, at this level, it's about performance. It's not about projection. So in this particular case, he's got to learn how to harness all these tools he has and make the most of it. And, you know, look, in a very, very short sample size in his last few outings, he's done just that. Now, hopefully those are building blocks for us, and we'll continue to see him progress because he – If all goes right for him, you know, he could be an ace. If worst case is, you know, he's someone that should be in your bullpen contributing. But, you know, he's a guy that we're super excited about, and hopefully we can make the most of it.
Yeah, he has great, great stuff. By the way, Junior Fernandez, the ball was jumping out of his hand recently. I didn't realize he had gotten dialed up that high, but he looked great too.
No, he's always been that. Yeah. For 2 years, he's thrown 100.
I don't know why it surprised me.
For him is, got to throw strikes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he can do that, you know, he has a chance to be elite.
Yeah, he looked great. Verhagen, that one more question about middle relief, and then I have a question about prospects on the farm. But Verhagen, where is he right now?
Well, right now he's nursing a shoulder impingement. So, you know, hopefully he can work through that. I mean, he's another really interesting talent. It's you know, can we get him to harness everything he has and make the most of it? And if we can, then he's going to be a huge resource for us in the second half. But first, we got to get him physically right, and then create a strategy for him to really optimize his talent. But I do believe that there's a lot of things that we're going to like about him if we can get him right.
And then looking at the farm system right now, players that are catching your eye, obviously Jordan Walker, I'd love to know just the latest on how things are going with the 20-year-old, but Alec Burleson as well, and anybody else that is on the move that is impressing down there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously you touched on two guys that are playing really well, but I'd say, you know, guys on the move are Mason Wynn, shortstop at Springfield, also 20, 21 years old. Super exciting talent. You know, I think the big knock on him was, you know, is he going to be able to hit? And so far he's been able to carry himself really well at Double A at a young age. And the fact is he's like, you know, potentially an elite defender, just super fast twitch guy. And, you know, we're really excited what we're seeing out of him. So between Wynn and Walker, those are really encouraging. Same team. I think guys that are, you know, sort of like putting themselves now on the prospect radar is Michael McGreevy, obviously a first rounder from a year ago. And then you also have Gordon Graceffo. And I think like Graceffo is a name that I don't think people are very familiar with, but they will be soon. Big arm, mid 90s, strike thrower. I think he's got like a 3% walk rate. So, I mean, he's around the plate. He's a guy that like below radar right now, but he won't be drafted last year out of Villanova. So, I mean, those four guys right now at Double A have been, you know, super impressive. And then a guy that we picked up this offseason, Moises Gomez, has just like been an offensive superstar on that team. So a lot to be excited about. All of Memphis outfield right now is playing super well, like Burleson, Capel, and DeLuzio. So that's been great to see. And, you know, overall, I think we've drained them pretty hard on pitching, but, you know, that's what they're there for. And, you know, hopefully they can find a way to, you know, just sort of stabilize themselves. But, you know, right now they're really, competing well, given how much we've taken from them.
Well, you have run the farm system before and you oversee everything now. So you understand what that takes. But especially now coming out of the pandemic and getting everything ramped up. I know you've given credit to a lot of people across the board, the managers of those clubs, Gary LaRocque, Randy Flores, for helping scout that talent, Mo.
No, there's so many people involved for the success of that, and you name some of them, and there's even more to that. But I think like the big thing of you know under Gary's leadership is you know we talked a lot this off season about allowing guys to have some success this year. Last year, you know, we did not play very well at the minor league level. You know, both Gary and I felt like we were playing players a little bit ahead of where they should have been. This year we wanted to stabilize that, and I think you're starting to see the success these young men are having at these levels, which is great to see. And now you're going to start to see more people get promoted over time. But right now it's been a really healthy model for 2022.
Always appreciate you keeping us updated. Good luck today against the Cubs, and thanks for being with us on KMOX.
Thanks, Tommy. You be well.
You too. There's Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak with us on Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. When we come back, Albert Pujols, 5 minutes with number five at 11:45. Right now, it's 11:42 on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday Morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Albert Pujols comes to bat. Albert against the Royals.
And Albert digs back in. Open stance, deep in the box. Pulls it down on the end.
Albert Pujols, the 1-0 pitch to Albert is hit high and deep.
He hits a fly ball left field. That's back. It's a big fly for Albert Pujols. And it's gone.
Now, Tom Ackerman and 5 minutes with number five.
A thunderous ovation for Albert Pujols.
5 minutes with number five. Albert Pujols is with us in the Cardinals clubhouse. Always appreciate these visits. I wanted to take you back to 2003. I was in the office with Tony La Russa. A few of us were in there, and we were talking about you, and he goes, yeah, best player I've ever managed. We looked at each other and said, did we just hear you say that right? And he said, yeah. He said, best player I've ever managed. And this was year three. It was a great year for you. You're really coming to your own already in the big leagues. I wanted to talk about the relationship with that manager, Tony La Russa.
Well, definitely, you know, I mean, they're just like a father and son, you know. I mean, it means a lot coming out from him, being in this game for so long. But at the same time, I had to leave that expectation, you know, make him, I guess, look good. So I had to continue to, you know, just play the game the way I know how to play. And really, at the end of the day, for me, it wasn't ever about numbers or anything like that. It was always about what can I do every day to come over here and help this ball club to win. And having a manager like Tony La Russa, they allow players, you know, to feel comfortable. Since day one, since I got to spring training, I was just invited in spring training. And, you know, he really made me feel comfortable. And really, I felt that got the best out of me because I felt that he always had my back, just like everybody else in this clubhouse, you know, since day one in 2001. So for me, I mean, we built a great relationship, and I think the memories, you know, those are the things that we take with us. And, you know, as somebody that I can call, pick up my phone right now, and if he's not doing anything, he answers, you know. I call him 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, just have a conversation while I was in the West Coast. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I had the chance, you know, being wearing the same uniform again with the Angels. You know, he was in the front office and coming around and just, you know, building that relationship that we have, and it's pretty special, you know. So I think, you know, there's not a lot of players that can say that, you know. And I think, you know, for him to allow me to have that relationship with him is pretty special.
It was great to see the two of you. And then a year later, Yadier Molina walked into the clubhouse, and you could see that relationship develop as well. The common thread between the three of you is how much you love and respect this game of baseball. He always, even with me, just loved to sit around and talk about the game. He saw it in so many different ways.
Yeah, and I think, you know, our main goal is for us. I mean, it's just, you know, I come here, you know, after 10 years that I was gone, and being back here, you know, with Yadier and Bueno and this organization, it's always about winning. This has never been about players. They're never about one guy. It's always about the Cardinals organization, and I think that's why that's why we had the success that we have, you know, and we have the second most behind the Yankees, you know, on championship, because I think the way that this organization has always carried itself, and I think that's something that's really special, you know. You've seen so many players come through here, you know, and they're like guys that either won championship or are hungry to win a championship, and that's what every organization needs.
I wanted to also touch on the fact that the Pujols Family Foundation, which we've talked about every week, has moved forward in that fashion. They've stayed true to this area, and when you were out in Los Angeles, just give us the latest and how, and I'm so glad that we've been able to do this, because a lot of people are now hearing more and more about the foundation as you've re-engaged here in St. Louis, but it always has been. I think that's an important point. I remember you telling me that when you left, you said, it's not going anywhere. We're going to stay strong.
Yeah, definitely, and that's something, you know, that's why we never left. I mean, yes, we did work in all the different states, you know, but our face were here, our office was here, like our headquarters was here. So I think at the end of the day, you know, it's using the platform to give back. You know, we're still doing a lot of work in the community as well as taking trip to the Dominican Republic. Obviously, over the last couple of years has been tough, you know, because of COVID. But I think we were able to survive and continue to reach those lives, you know, for families, you know, and needs.
That is exactly 5 minutes with number five, Albert Pujols. Okay. Always appreciate these 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. See you next week.
All right, our thanks to Albert Pujols. We will see him tomorrow at 9:50 a.m., Total Information a.m., as we have our fourth episode of 5 minutes with number five. We'll be doing it every week, Mondays at 9:50, and then repeating here on Sports on a Sunday morning at 11:45. His final season in the big leagues, one of the greatest players in the history of the game. He is two extra base hits away from Stan Musial for the most in Cardinals history. And he continues to climb the charts, no question, in a lot of different areas. A historic season in many ways for the Cardinals to have Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, and Adam Wainwright all together. We have talked about Yadi. He has been out and will continue to be out. He is dealing with a knee injury and is resting that in Puerto Rico. In the meantime, Ivan Herrera and Andrew Kisner have been working behind the plate, and Herrera is starting today for the Cardinals. If you haven't heard the lineup, we'll give it to you one more time. It's Herrera batting ninth and catching today. He had the game-winning RBI yesterday, the sac fly in the eighth inning that scored the fourth run of the game. Cardinals won it 5-3. Edmund, Donovan, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Gorman, Yepes, Carlson, Bader, and Herrera. That's the lineup. Yepes is the DH. Donovan is playing in left field. The Cardinals and the Cubs at 1:15 with Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Redbirds. They are tied with the Brewers atop the National League Central. Brewers won yesterday as well, 5-4 over the Toronto Blue Jays. In the National League, it's a race, and the Phillies won their game over the Padres. They're trying to hang in there in a very good NL East that the Mets are dominating, leading the Braves by 5 games. And the Phillies, not too bad of a club, really. I mean, they're 38-35. They're 3 games over .500. They've struggled. They fired their manager, Joe Girardi. They're 9 games out. Now they could be in a lot of trouble because Bryce Harper could be out for the season. He has a left thumb fracture. He was hit by a 97-mile-an-hour high and tight fastball in the fourth inning by the Padres' Blake Snell. Harper immediately crumbled to the ground in pain. He was holding his injured hand for several minutes. The Phillies head trainer attended to him. The team announced the injury to Harper. He is the reigning NL MVP. They said he'll be out indefinitely. He's going to undergo further evaluation in the next few days, but that is a big loss, obviously. One of the greatest players in the game goes down, and the Phillies are sitting there in a very tough situation now. 3 games over .500, 9 games out in the NL East. There was another big injury, and that happened to Dodgers right-hander Daniel Hudson. He's been placed on the injured list. He has a torn left ACL, and his season is over. This move was expected after Hudson's knee buckled in the eighth inning of Friday night's win over the Braves. He reacted to a dribbler hit by Ronald Acuna Jr. and tore his ACL. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts says Hudson's recovery is expected to take 6 to 9 months. How big of a loss is this? He is their top setup man. He is the Dodgers' top setup man, Daniel Hudson. So, I mean, as the Dodgers go, you feel sorry for Hudson. I wouldn't feel sorry for the Dodgers necessarily. They are very, very aggressive when things like this happen, and you know they're going to be looking for a new setup, man. They'll promote somebody within their own bullpen, but they'll be very active trying to find somebody to fill that spot and try to put away the field there in the NL West, and it's tight. I mean, the Dodgers lead the Padres by a game right now, and I'm telling you, watch out for the Giants. They are lurking. They're 5.5 back. They haven't really done a whole lot here lately, but they've stayed afloat. They've been able to hang in, and they're a team that always sort of hangs around. Last year, they were very dominant in the NL West, but they're very, very well run. There's a game already underway. The Mets and the Marlins are tied 1-1. They are in the top of the third in that ball game. Early in this game, it was an opportunity for the Mets, and they delivered. Brandon Nimmo with a double, and they actually were unable to score. Then, coming back in the bottom of the first, the Marlins, who will be here tomorrow, a double by Birdie and a ground out, and then they are able to deliver with a sacrifice fly to take a 1-0 lead, and the Mets answered with a run in the top of the third. And they're loaded with power. They have Pete Alonso, who has 22 home runs, but they have a lot of players that can hammer it. And Brandon Nimmo did it this time, a fly ball out to center field to even that game 1-1. Again, that's in the top of the third, the Mets and the Marlins. That's the one game going on right now. Just in a little bit, the Astros and Yankees, after the Astros no-hit the Yankees yesterday with three pitchers, will be playing at Yankee Stadium at 12:35. The Red Sox and the Guardians at 12:40, Pirates and Rays at 12:40, and then the trio of 1:10 games, A's at Royals, Rockies at Twins, Orioles at White Sox, all in the American League. The game, though, that we're watching at 1:10 will be the Blue Jays at the Brewers, as Berríos against Gonzalez in that one. The Brewers need to get some of their starters back. They are going to be hurting in that area if they don't get Woodruff back, they don't get Peralta back. They don't have much of an offense right now, and they've got to find a way to keep pace with the Cardinals. If they're going to win ball games 3-2 or 2-1, well, good for them, but they're going to need some starters if they're going to hang with the Cardinals, I believe. I think this is a two-team race right now, but the Cardinals, to me, seem like the more balanced team at the moment, even with all the injuries that they have. And they're going to start getting some people back. Steven Matz is going to start a rehab assignment Tuesday, said both Ali Marmol and John Mozeliak on this show, Sports on a Sunday Morning. Jordan Hicks is going to rehab again on Tuesday in Memphis, and he could be coming back soon. The Cardinals are going to get healthy here pretty quickly, I would think. Tyler O'Neill as well. Thanks for joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. For our producer, James O'Sullivan, I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks to all of our guests. Go Lightning. And go Cardinals. It's 11:57.